Good morning and welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to begin Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Vezos HaBracha is the last parsha in the Torah, and it is a total of 41 psukim, which is a short parsha. Our Aliyah is from Perek Lamed Gimel Aleph to Zion, which is 7 psukim in total. The topic of our Aliyah is the introduction and Moshe's brachos to Reuven and Yehuda. Let's take a look at a basic summary, and then there are lots to points to ponder. So the summary is as follows. We're told that this is parasha, or this next section, is about the bracha which Moshe is going to give to Bnei Yisrael before his death. And he articulates, he says it very poetically, that Hashem came from Sinai, he shone forth to Seir, and expressed himself to Har Paran, the mountain in Paran, and came with these holy multitudes. On his right was this fiery law, and all of them were submitted to his words, carrying his laws. Torah tzivah lanu Moshe k'mor hasha kilas Yaakov, and Moshe gives the commandments as an inheritance to the nation of Israel, these teachings. And when there was a king in Yeshurun, when everybody comes together and all the leaders of the tribes of Israel come together, that's when there will be a king in Yeshurun, obviously symbolically talking about how all the different tribes that are standing before him, when they can cooperate, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to be the king of Israel. And then we have the first two brachas. Bracha number one is to Reuven. The bracha is Yechi Reuven Vayamos V'him Yisod Mispar, that you let Reuven live and not die, and let him be counted among his brothers. And then the bracha goes to Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, that Yehuda is going to be heard, the voice is heard, and is going to be brought to his people. His hands were great, and he will be a help against his enemies. Just as an interesting aside, when I was in school, when I was in 7th grade, we had to memorize all of this. So this had to be something which, when we got to Vezos HaBracha, we had to memorize this all of Bahats. It's one of those sections in the Torah, like the brachas of Yaakov, the brachas of Moshe, are very significant part of the Torah. Let's try to understand some of the details here. First question that we should look at when thinking about this Aliyah is, what is the poetic preamble at the beginning of the parasha? Like, what is this whole first paragraph? Rashi explains that it is the praise for Hashem, which therefore deepens the impact of the brachos, because it comes from the infinite source of Hashem. So to understand why the brachos should be relevant, that's why we have the first section of the parasha. Now, what's this whole business of Hashem coming from Sinai and Paro and that whole business? So Rashi explains this is an elaborate description of Matan Torah. So for instance, Zorach Miseir Lamo, he shines forth from Seir, that refers to how Hashem first offered the Torah to Esav, but they refused. Then Hofia Mehar Parani, he presented it from the mountain of Paran, that refers to Yishmael, the nomadic tribes of Yishmael, the Arabs, who did not accept the Torah either. Finally, V'asa Revois Kodesh, then Hashem came with the multitudes of angels, with Eish Das Lama referring to the Torah in its primordial state, not just simply parchment and ink, but the black fire on the white fire, energy, matter and antimatter, the idea of the Torah, the concept of the Torah before it even took form in the reality that we have it, and giving it to the nation of Israel. Looking at the bracha of Reuven, why does it seem to be that there's some sort of veiled threat upon Reuven, that he should live and not die, that he should be counted among his brothers, as if he stood not to be counted? Rashi explains, because it goes back to his sin. Reuven, like in when Yaakovinu gives the bracha to Reuven, he also talks about Pachas Kamaim Al Tosai Ki Alisa Mishkei Ve'avicha, that Reuven moved the bed of his father after the death of Rachel, his special wife. Yaakov moved his bed into the tent of Bilhah, her maidservant, as opposed to the other wife, Leah. And Reuven felt this as an affront and moved his father's bed. That was seen as a terrible sin. And therefore, this bracha is reassuring that despite the bracha of Yaakov had taken a lot away from Reuven, nonetheless, he was being assured that he'd still be among, he'll have spiritual longevity and be included among the rest of the tribes. When we get to the bracha of Yehuda, we hear Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem listens to the voice of Yehuda. Why is Hashem listening for the voice of Yehuda? So Rashi quotes a Gemara in Baba Kama that when Yehuda made the proclamation to his father in Parshas Miketz, that he was trying to guarantor that he would be the guarantor to bring back his brother Binyamin, he says, Anochi Ervenu, I'll be his guarantor, and if not, V'chatasi La'avi Kol Hayamim, I will sin to have sinned to my father all days, What does it mean? Yamim, it means in this world and the next, Yehuda was precluding himself from the world to come. Now, truth be told, he brought back Binyamin, but when a tzaddik says a phrase of such magnitude, it has still a gravitas, it still has some sort of residue. And therefore, the Rashi describes it is that the bones of Yosef were rattling in their coffin for the 40 years during the desert. Not only were the bones of Yosef brought from Egypt, but the bones of the rest of the brothers were brought up. And Yehuda's bones were rattling in their coffin, almost to symbolize that he was not gaining access to the world to come or the next step, the Olam HaNeshamos, because of this proclamation. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Hashem and says, "Mi goram l'Ruvein." Shiyodeh. Who was the one who caused Reuven to do teshuva on his sin? It was Yehuda, because Yehuda had made his admission about Tamar, so therefore he catalyzed the teshuva process of his brother Reuven, and that was seen as a zchus, and at that point in time the bones stopped rattling, and he was able to gain access to the next step of the journey of the soul. So the question that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks on this Rashi quoting the Gemara is, why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu just refer to Yehuda's own tshuva process? After all, Yehuda's tshuva process was very public. It was very embarrassing. It took a lot of guts for him to be able to do that as a leader of the area that he was in. So why not just don't talk about that? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out that when a person does a change in themselves, makes a change in their own personal lifestyle, that is magnificent. But when that change influences others, then the reward for that change becomes exponential. Meaning to say, Reuven's being the collateral impact for good of Yehuda's process of tshuva is something which therefore became so much more exponential when we can influence others. And this works for the good and for the not so good. Being very careful about how we influence others based on our decisions, which may seem to be personal at the beginning. And finally, one question over here is, what happened to Shimon? The brachas go from Reuven to Yehuda. What happened to Shimon? So Rashi says Shimon is actually left out because of the whole episode of Baal Peor, where at the end of the desert we saw at the end of Parashas Balak, where the nation of Israel were seduced by the daughters of Moab and Midian, and the person leading that cause was Zimri. So he was from the Nesibes of Shimon, and therefore he was left out of the bracha. Rashi does point out that there's an innuendo to Shimon in the word Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem should listen to the voice of Yehuda as being a hint to Shimon being in Yehuda's bracha, and of course in the division of the land, Shimon's chelek, Shimon's portion of the land, is also subsumed at the least at the very beginning by Yehuda, which also matches the bracha. A friend of mine, Rabbi Yoni Gold from Chicago, makes a very beautiful point, and that is that Levi and Shimon were both shunned in the brachas of Yaakov. Shimon velevi achim klei chomas b'cher asem. Hashem says, Yaakov had said to them that they stole their trade, they were using the sword, they were impetuous, they were too passionate, and they killed the city of Shechem, and perhaps even he knows about the mechiras Yosef. So Yaakov, in a certain sense, gives them a reprimanding. Moshe Rabbeinu, now looking back many, many years later, says, well, let's see, Levi's going to get a bracha, that's the next aliyah, but Shimon does not. What was the difference? Well, Shimon actually, unfortunately, continued to misuse that passion in an impetuous way. And that's the Baal Peor episode. But Levi also used that impetuousness and that passion, that zeal, but that zeal turned in a different direction. It was the zeal of Mila Hashem Elai at Har Sinai, where Levi took charge and did a very good thing. And similarly with Pinchas, he took charge and did a very good thing, even though it was hard decisions. So Levi was able to harness and channel that idea, that characteristic, whereas Shimon not, which is why Levi is included in the brachas of Moshe, whereas Shimon is not. He's only left as an innuendo. Very fascinating perspective. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, a wonderful, meaningful